discipline and surrender. That's a big one. What might be the architectures we can think of that would remind us of old and new ways of being together? What is a dream? What is a song? You know, they were after the big realities.
Now, Rumi was also, he wasn't just a teacher. He was also a worker. He had work, didn't he?
Yes,
practical,
yes.
Work.
He was a practical worker in the world. All of them were. All the dervishes were. They were not renunciates. They were ecstatic makers.
Rumi had family?
Oh, yeah. He had four children, and one of his wives died. He had two wives. And but the dervishes and Rumi himself were, I say, workers in the everyday world. They dealt with the nitty-gritty of the marketplace. They had crafts. They were bookbinders and hat makers and weavers and masons.
This is where the tradition of the master in the marketplace came from, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
What's their connection, the dervishes' connection to the rest of Islam? What is that connection?
This is probably something that I should not talk about. I hear Rumi as not so much connected to an ism, to a religious tradition, but as belonging to the entire planet or the universe, in which the basic impulse to praise or is everywhere. He says that the world of form is ecstatic. Just being a rock,
yes.
Or a tree he could hear them singing. And he says being in form and sentient is a state of pure rapture. Just being here and thoughtful.
The
conscious.
Joy, the joy of being.
Is the joy and is an amazing delight and pure. He said it's a kind of shimmering excitement in everything.
Along came Shams.
Along came Shams.
A great encounter, that first encounter. Tell us about that encounter of Rumi and Shams.
Event in his life that galvanized him and his community was the meeting in October, probably of 1244, of Shams of Tabriz. The story goes that Shams had been wandering the Middle East for years, looking for some companion, somebody that was on the same spiritual level of longing that he was. And finally a voice came to him and said, "What will you give for such a companion?" He said, "My head." And the voice then told him that Jalaluddin of Konya is your friend. So he went to Konya, Turkey. And there are several versions of the first meeting. One of them is that Rumi was talking with a group of students by a fountain. And his books, particularly his precious, most precious book, the diary, the spiritual diary of his father, which is a wild thing that's never been fully translated, called the Maharif. And Shams came along and pushed that and his other books into the fountain and said, "You must live now what you've been reading about." But Rumi says, "But that book, I love that book so much." And Shams says, "We can get those books out of the fountain and they'll be dry." They're always dry.
That's great.
The text. And he lifted one up and it was dry. And Rumi said, gave that beautiful relinquishment, which I don't know that we can understand now. He said, "Let them go." And he and Shams went off into that companionship, that friendship, that is the great gift of theirs to the world of mysticism. That is the way of friendship as a path outside of doctrine, outside of any religious context, I think. Their friendship and its depth dissolved theology.
Yes.
And he said, what I had thought of before is God, I met today in a human being. And that was enough.
The only other place I've seen that, and it may be in some other place, is